Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And Carissa, today we're kind of segueing very quickly into sports talk.
I know. Well, it's definitely fall as we're here in mid-October. And, you know, it's interesting because harvest timing really coincides with sort of the changing of all of the seasons in sports. So we're kind of winding down harvest at this point, which is great and super exciting to another one in the books.
Get some grapes.
Yeah. And get, more importantly, get some 2024 wines going, which is great. And we're actually going to do our bilingual harvest recap next week. We do them on the back of trucks at the sort of the tailgate talk. So
Excellent. It's
going to be really fun. We record that. But yeah, it's all things sort of, sadly, goodbye Giants for another season.
Yep.
But good news coming out of the Giants a couple weeks ago. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Buster Posey coming in as head of baseball operations is
exciting.
A fan's dream come true.
I know. I'm going to be a little starstruck because we get invited to their like partner updates where like the head of baseball operations speaks in like a very small room with like just the partners. I'm going to be like, hey. How's it going?
Yeah.
Nice to see you.
You're like 2010, yeah. 2012, 2014.
Ooh,
thank
you for
all of those championships.
Thank you so much. And let's get some more.
And bring Bochy back.
Yeah, that'd be, well, that was, yeah, that's another wish. So, but yeah. Happy to have Buster in that role. And really fun. We wrapped up the season a few weeks ago. We got to do, we got to jump in on Rich Aurelio's winemaker dinner at the Gotham Club, which was exciting. So we were down there with some reception wines, a sparkling starter, which is so fun. And then we served the Bucher, essentially the Bucher dessert wine, their dessert zin for the dessert. So that was super fun. And the guests down there of that dinner were just, they love wine, they love baseball. I'm like, you are our people. So
yeah, well, remind everyone, Rich Aurelio, like he makes a wine brand called
Red Stitch.
Yep.
And I was really happy. I sat next to his business partner, where I basically said, "You need to make more Sonoma County wine with Red Stitch, so we can work more together."
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that, but that would be really exciting. He does make Sonoma County wines, but also does some exploration around the state. But that leads us to an announcement we're going to hopefully make soon about a new NFL partner we have. So, and I'm just going to answer the question.
That's very vague.
I know. So you're going to probably ask me, well, is it the 49ers?
Is it the 49ers?
Thanks for asking. in fact, it's not.
Is it the Raiders?
No.
Okay.
In fact, it's not either of those teams. And I think, you know, maybe some local folks out there would be like, why are you not partnering with the 49ers? Which I agree. 49ers are amazing. Love the team. So it's not that we're not championing them from the sidelines. But one thing we've kind of learned as we've been doing work with the Rockets in Houston is that it's really fun to take our wine region outside of the state of California, because just the reaching fans that don't have the proximity to Sonoma County has really delivered a lot more sort of ROI and impact. So especially with our partnership with the Giants in the city, it's kind of like, all right, we've got local fans that are in the Bay Area. So we're actually headed to the Midwest to partner with an NFL team there, which I'm sure from a fandom will be a little controversial at some point. But I'm pretty sure these Midwesterners love wine, and we're really excited to have them even more excited about Sonoma County wine. So stay tuned for an announcement on that. And we're about ready to kick off our season with the Rockets. So officially our first pop-up winemaker dinner is coming up in middle of November. So we're starting to plan for that. So we're like, wrapping up baseball, announcing football, and starting basketball. We got all the sports.
I'm like overwhelmed and excited and thinking, yeah, it's like having one sports league that never finishes its season.
Right? It just kind of keeps
on. The Sonoma County Wine Growers
never
finishes its
season.
We
just keep on rolling. And we're actually, we're talking to a minor league hockey team as well. That's
really
exciting.
So we're trying all the stuff.
It's all the good stuff.
Get a couple golfers, an international soccer team.
Well,
and
ironically, John Deere invited us to the Breeders' Cup in a few weeks, which they are a sponsor of. So we're going to look for maybe some opportunities there too.
What's your handicap?
Yeah, no, not at all. Well, that is a horse racing indeed, but which I have no, I barely can get on a horse, so we just won't talk about that.
Okay, so well,
so much stuff.
Spectate You'll be a spectator. I'm a spectator for sure. Participant. Okay.
For sure.
Sounds good. Well, when we come back, we will introduce our guest here on The Good Stuff. On The Good Stuff, and today our guest in studio is Sharon Cohn, co-owner of Breathless Wine.
Woo-woo! Ding, ding, ding!
I know. Pretend bubble bell. Welcome. I mean, you've got such a diverse background. I wanted to dig into it, but I kind of feel like we need to hear it from you, Sharon, so welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here.
Okay, so highlights, I mean, yeah. 4 years in the U.S. Air Force, dental hygienist. Since 1980. You have also served with B.R. Cohn Olive Oil Company as a managing partner and co-owned Massage Envy in Santa Rosa and Sonoma for many years. This is crazy background. Yeah. We love it.
How do you string this together?
Yeah, how do you string? So how does that all lead to bubbles?
I was going to say, start at the beginning. Like, where did you grow up, and was the Air Force your first sort of career move?
It was.
So, yes. How did that happen?
I grew up in Santa Rosa, out in the Oakmont area, out in the country. So that, you know, that background was just amazing. My parents moved us up from Orange, California, when I was probably about seven. But my other two sisters are from here locally, and we just... We're very lucky to find this place and to start here. So went through all the school in Santa Rosa, and what can I say? I needed to get out.
Right? Yeah, as amazing as it was, everybody still needs a little bit of a break and
see
the world.
You have to find out what you like.
Exactly. Yeah. I wanted to get out. I wanted to see the world. The Air Force didn't quite get what the world meant to me. So they sent me to Minot, North Dakota. I was in minus 80 degree wind chill.
I was born in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So I can relate to why I don't live there anymore. Because I too got out.
Oh, yes.
It's cold. It's a cold that people don't understand.
And it's not understandable unless you experience it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Insane. Well, that's not a very exciting, station.
It wasn't, but it taught me a lot. It just definitely taught me how to survive.
Yeah.
In a lot of, you know, physically, but also mentally. I was one of 2,000 in my squadron, one woman out of 2,000 in our squadron.
Oh my gosh.
So that was a time for me to discover who I was and stand up for it and be it. And
that's amazing.
So
I had no idea.
Did you learn to fly?
I didn't. I wanted to be an air traffic controller, but they said my depth perception was not right, which I think they just had a quota for law enforcement when I was going through the application process.
Wow.
So that's how I ended up there.
Okay. So your 4 year stint was entirely in North Dakota. Did you get to travel at all beyond there?
I didn't. I had orders to the Philippines just before my 4 years was completed, and I would have had that opportunity to extend, but at that point in time, it just wasn't the right fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was time to move on.
Okay, so what was the move on?
The move on was to school for dental hygiene and completed that. Mom always said you needed a backup, so that was my backup plan.
I love it.
And it was fabulous throughout all my careers because I could actually have continued doing that most of the time. And, you know, when I had young kids, I could take the day off and run and do field trips with them and just to be with them when the time was important.
Mm-hmm. Where was that school? Did you come back to California?
Actually, I didn't. I stuck around in Minnesota for a while.
Wow, big move, North Dakota to Minnesota.
Yeah, you're seeing parts of the world.
Yeah. It was beautiful, very progressive. The lakes were gorgeous. Yes. I mean, North Dakota was, you know, the mosquitoes were the state bird and the telephone poles were the state tree. So it was, you know, it was just gorgeous and love the people there were just amazing. Yeah. So it wasn't a bad move and it was a great place to go to school.
Okay. And then, so after Minnesota, what's next?
I had to come home.
Okay.
It was time to come home. Yeah, so landed here with my dental hygiene, and one of my first patients that I met was Bruce Cohn, and the rest is history there.
Okay, so you met Bruce Cohn, who, you know, founder of B.R. Cohn Winery, Doobie Brothers manager, lots of things in his life.
Did he have
as
nice
well.
Teeth?
He did.
Okay. Life on the road hadn't
I mean, you're kind of like, if you have bad teeth, like, is that even, does that like negate and even a possible first date?
Well, right.
You know,
right.
You're like,
he
no.
passed the test.
You did. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. I mean, sorry, I had to ask because I'm looking at a, you know, football gummy bears in front of me, you know.
I know.
The sugar rush of the day.
Yeah,
thanks, Gershon.
That might have been a bad choice when we're having a dental hygienist.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the rest is history. Explain that a little bit.
Wow. So between us, we had four kids. We had the his, hers, and ours, which was very fun and a lot.
Right.
We started the winery in 1984, and one of our first winemakers was Helen Turley. And so this is where we decided to make some sparkling wine.
Mm. Okay.
And she made an amazing one that we called Platinum for the Platinum Records, and always wanted to continue that program. But it was the age of Big Reds, and so we scrapped that. The labor was huge. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that was a lot, but I can say that we enjoyed the last of it for our wedding, which was way down the road from there. But it stood the test of time and was just amazing. So
sure, I'm curious. It's so 1984. I mean, that's right around the time the AVAs are getting established here. Like, what was it like out in Sonoma Valley at that time?
Oh, it was the best. Everybody knew everybody. You know, there were the old wine growers' families, and that's who we knew, who we hung out with, who we supported. I mean, Helen Turley came from Gunlock Buntu, who was cleaning barrels, you know, and all of a sudden we had to switch into having a tasting room or a winery because the buyer, I won't name names, in July decided to not buy the grapes anymore. So it was a quick switch. And so on the phone, looking for a winemaker, and Jim said, I have this girl over here, and she really wants to make wine, but Lance is probably not going to let her move up too quickly. So might be a great opportunity for you both. And it truly was.
Early days of Helen Turley.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
incredible.
It is pretty incredible. Very, very early. Mm-hmm. So were you, I mean, you mentioned that kind of, I mean, you were early to Bubbles in Sonoma County, but was that something that you really loved already, or was that when you developed love? No, you're nodding like you already you loved it already. Okay.
Well, yeah. Don't you just start off loving Bubbles, like, and
out the chute.
Out the chute. Yeah. I mean,
it's just a little more fun, right?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I know. I'm now thinking I needed the bubble bell right there.
I know. It was a kind of a perfect moment for the bubble bell. But so you mentioned quickly your sisters, and that you are in business now with both of your sisters. Breathless Wines was started by you as well as your sisters Rebecca Faust and
Cynthia Faust.
Mm-hmm. And then you work alongside a very well-known winemaker in the bubble space, Penny Gad Koster. So talk about your sisters. What were they doing while you were at B.R. Cohn and developing that winery?
They are the numbers girls, I'd have to say. So Rebecca is a CPA and started off as an auditor at Deloitte & Touche, auditing wineries.
Oh, wow.
And then they, you know, as she was on site, recruited her. So that's really what she was doing, was CFOs for wineries. Mm-hmm. And very often she would move on to the next, and my sister Cynthia would fill her place and move. They moved around like that. So, yeah.
Are you the eldest?
I am.
Okay. And so when did this idea to combine your efforts and go into Bubbles big time happen?
Well, my sister Rebecca took a step out of the CFO and started Rack and Riddle with her partner, Bruce Lindquist. And so that timing was just perfect. They really provided the opportunity for wineries and also private label to develop a brand without having to invest in the huge equipment costs that it is. I mean, now it's just amazing. It's, 100% robotic. And it's one of those transformations that happened in their business world that was pretty amazing, and just the timing was just right for everything.
No, and we thank you for all of that effort, because we know that Rack and Roll is literally the backbone of almost every sparkling program in Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. Obviously a couple of the wineries have their own that are more sparkling houses.
Right.
But thank you, because that it's given us such a great opportunity to just really explore sparkling wine and grapes that are grown all around Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. And the magic that happens when you turn them into bubbles. Which makes me so happy.
You're getting teary.
You're so happy. It makes me so happy. It really does.
But it is true. It's been fun to watch, producers that were classic Pinot houses or Chardonnay houses or even Cabernet or Zinfandel houses, and they want to have a sparkling to offer their guests when they first, it's the welcome wine, it's the first thing that you greet somebody with at a winemaker dinner. And it has made it a little bit more fun from our end, too. Like, you to just taste a lot more interpretations of bubbles.
Exactly.
Well, and I like here, too. I mean, as you get different wineries making them and working with different grower partners, I mean, you're starting to taste the terroir, the site in the sparkling. It starts to show through, and that's really fun, too, I think, as locals here, to like understand what a still Chardonnay will do versus a Blanc de Blanc from a very specific vineyard or, a Brut. Excellent. Yeah, I love it.
I love it, too.
Plus, it also, I have to say, it really has shifted our harvest here quite a bit, in that with everyone, a lot of folks looking at sparkling wines, even from small lots, they are the first grapes to be harvested because you bring them in at a lower Brix. So it allows kind of as some of our farmers and our board members say, a little bit of a slow ramp up to like what is the intensity of harvest that really takes hold kind of all throughout September. But those first kind of weeks in August when you're harvesting for sparkling, it's like, okay, we're out there working out the kinks. We're getting it in. Like, the Brix are a little lower. We're like, okay, harvest has started. So it's a nice kind of onboarding. Whether it's at an event you're getting ported, or it's our farmers harvesting
it.
So
they get to,
there's nothing not to love. Is
they get to
what I'm
start
saying.
Sooner, right? Because they're jumping at the bit to get going and get to start picking some grapes and getting them in. And so it's a sister partnership, but it's also it has something to do with your mother as well, doesn't it?
It really does. It all really started with us wanting to do something in her honor. She passed from a genetic, very rare disease called Alpha 1, which is a lung disease, basically. So in the end, she was breathless, but it was about how she lived every day, taking no breath for granted, that just inspires us to this day. Every day when I walk into the space that we created for her, it's like we can do more than what we thought we could when we first walked in here. And it's just very just inspiring. But that's how she lived her life, just every day creating breathless moments for us, and really being involved in our family as well as the community. And so it all comes together for us, and we've kind of wanted to do something as a last chapter for the sisters too. Like, we thought, you know, how fun would this be to do something together, and also in honor of Mom.
Now I'm teary.
I know. I was like, I love that.
That
so much.
Is really moving. That is really moving. I never knew the background of the name.
I didn't either.
Oh, yeah. It's mostly happy, inspiring. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Living every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, and enjoying it, not taking it for granted.
Being, living life big. Our girl on our label embodies that too, because she's kind of looking over her shoulder. Like, we used to backpack and hike and all that. My mom was always like, are you coming?
So, you along?
Let's do this. So, she's kind of embodies, like, let's go have some fun. And that's what Breathless is about too. It's just all about fun and enjoying life. And we're looking over our shoulders, inviting anybody who wants to join.
Well, we love that here on The Good Stuff. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk more with our guest, Sharon Cohn. Good Stuff with our guest Sharon Cohn of Breathless Wine. And you told us such a moving story about the background, your mom's inspiration, the girl on the label, all these great things. But how do you and your sister sort of work together? How do you break up the roles, or how do you to figure out, you know, do you get together regularly and think about new products, or how do you,
I assume
how does it
they
work?
Drink a lot of their wine for inspiration and then they meet.
I didn't
during
have to ask
meetings.
That. Yeah. I didn't have to ask that part because, of course, that's, I mean, why else would you have a bubble house?
I know, right? I'd do that just for my personal consumption. Yep.
Right. I mean, we actually have a meeting today and we'll talk about a lot. I mean, personal things and as well as, you know, the next step, the next direction. Also pulling in Penny, because she definitely gives us a lot of great direction on the wines. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, around, you know, the terroir and Sonoma County and the AVs and the single vineyards that, mm-hmm. you know, Penny goes, let's try this. Mm-hmm. And we have, I don't know, I would say 9 different single vineyards that are just spectacular. Mm-hmm. So it's all just talk it through, make sure everything's getting covered, and Cynthia's really great with organizing, you know, the glass and the labels and all the little details of pulling things together for Tirage Day. And then Rebecca, of course, has been very busy with Rack and Riddle at the helm. So, but she also just retired the end of last month, so I get her more.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah, so that'll be great. But she's always, and even at Rack and Riddle, you know, she doesn't talk a lot, but when she does, you're like, yes, we
wisdom.
Need to go that way.
Wisdom. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there you go. A lot of great wisdom. They both are just feed me with inspiration and trying new things. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do and make it better.
What are some of the things that you're thinking about doing next?
Oh boy. Well, probably more single vineyards is definitely something that we're going. We have a 100% Pinot Blanc that we just released. And I have to say that the Pinot Meunier is also a favorite of mine.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Low alcohol, definitely one of those things that we're looking at. And okay. We've been doing
and sparkling can actually play a pretty interesting role in that. Mm-hmm.
It really can. Yeah. It really can. And with the way that the winemakers can work with the wines a little bit for the mouthfeel that you kind of lose with that alcohol. It's been very fun going through that process and figuring that out. We've also, you know, thought about cans, and I think we've 100% nixed that direction.
Yeah.
Mm. Just too many variables that, and it's not, you know, you can't do it in the way that we're used to doing things.
Yeah. It's not very celebratory to just open a can as opposed to let a champagne or bubble, you know, sparkling wine.
Is that a Diet Coke? No, it's sparkling wine.
No, it's sparkling wine. But yeah, that's a half bubble.
Yeah. You know,
half
there's no bell for that one. That's
half
just like
a bubble bell. Yeah. But I think it's true, like the low and no alk space for sparkling is very promising. I mean, I think that those have been some of the best examples I've had. And you still get, you know, you get the effervescence, you get sort of the joy of bubbles, but sometimes people don't want the alcohol. So I think that's cool that you're exploring that. Have you found, I mean, sparkling has grown so much as a category since you started Breathless, I imagine. Are you seeing it continue to be kind of the one of the preferred segments?
I definitely am. I think it's just one of those wines that it translates across all generations. Mm-hmm. You know, mothers and daughters coming in and celebrating different moments together that we get to watch and just kind of be there on the peripheral in the tasting room is happening more and more. Because I think we all know that, you know, life is tenuous and we need to connect and be mm-hmm. with each other and just spend time.
Yeah.
And a little bubbles with that goes great.
Yeah, I mean, we
the spend, ultimate connector.
I was going to say, we spend a lot of time talking just about wine as part of culture, and wine is connecting. Yeah, so I think, bubbles kind of elevates that even more.
Yeah, but I do love that perspective of any multiple generations. Mm-hmm. It can also be romantic. It can be, you know, celebratory for a professional cause or a personal cause. Like it has a place everywhere.
It really does. And even Tuesdays in the refrigerator having that bottle.
Well, and
that is the theme of the good stuff. Nailed it.
Yeah, I know.
Nailed it.
It's every Tuesday have some bubbles.
Well, I think that's super fun about sparkling because no matter when you open it, it still has a sense of celebration. Mm-hmm. So it does. It elevates everything, like you said, a Tuesday night or a Thursday night or, in my case, a hot dog.
It's the ultimate.
I'm not a gourmet chef, so I'm just making that. Or mac and cheese, sorry.
It definitely elevates a hot dog, yes. but I think it's the ultimate, like, accessible luxury, too.
Yes.
I mean, you do feel like you're treating yourself when you open some bubbles. It's
such a great point.
You know, why not? Treat yourself.
Yeah. Every day.
Every day. Treat yourself. Yeah. That was something in like Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. That was like always my favorite episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you getting a massage? Treat yourself.
We should all have that.
That's my next bell. I want you to say treat yourself.
Yeah, I think that
I'm on the hunt.
Okay. That sounds good. But let's talk a little bit also. I mean, Breathless does a lot philanthropically. So, so talk a little bit about that. Like, what's the inspiration? What are you doing? How can people help?
Wow. It's been a journey in that. And the inspiration, of course, goes back to Mom and Dad because of the way that they always wanted to impact the community. They were both teachers here in town and also were coaches in any sport that we decided we wanted to get into because it's hard to find those coaches or parents to step up. My mom actually did it in soccer when it started, which was after my time, but didn't know anything about it, but stepped in there and made a team and away they went. So just really important for us to be able to support nonprofits that already have the volunteers that have the focus and they also have the community that they want to serve. So if we can support that, we just stepped into a huge role for us at Luther Burbank for the Center of the Arts with the sparkling sponsorship. So,
oh, wow. Awesome.
It's been so wonderful and so fun. But, you know, we all know what they do in the community, and there's no way we could make that impact. So being able to help them support all that they do just is it's a great feeling. I think we get more out of it than they do.
I love that. And it's a great organization.
Yeah, these partnerships are so important. The wine industry is so well integrated into so many of these community endeavors? Are there other things that you support? Is it just through wine? Is it through, I mean, it's the name as well. And what else are you involved in?
Well, we never say no to requests for donations. We don't necessarily give wine, but we do the Sobrage experience, and we give that to everybody who asks. And then we sit down at the beginning of the year, and we decide on a monthly donation that we want to make to the foundations that mean a lot to us in the community. So that's our other kind of ritual.
I love that.
Cheers to that.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, that's fantastic. And do you all have like similar things you like to support, or does each sister have like their special, like, you know, organization?
I think we all have, something that's near and dear to us, because my sister's husband has Parkinson's, as I just did the Tour de Fox. And, you know, you just get out there riding, and I don't ride that much, so it's physical a lot, but it's a lot of mental in how important it is to live now with good health.
Yes.
And just, you know, connect with all the people that you want to connect with. And so that was a big epiphany for me on my last ride here.
Oh, okay. I love that.
Well, we have to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Sharon Cohn. We are back on The Good Stuff with our guest Sharon Cohn of Breathless Wine. And Sharon, tell us a little bit about how people can experience Breathless Wines. You have a tasting room, you mentioned briefly, but how can people visit? When are you open? What can they experience?
We are open Thursday through Monday, closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays. A little bit different every day, but we start at 11 and 6 o'clock on, and then 5 o'clock and 4 o'clock. Monday's a little bit sooner.
Right, okay.
And the experience is pretty unique. We are in an industrial area, so people turn down Moore Lane, which is behind the city offices in Healdsburg, and they're kind of like, really? Where am I going?
Yeah, where am I? Yeah.
The freeway is right there. But then they go to the end of Moore Lane, and Rack and Riddle's facility is there, and they had this little area that was basically a pumice pit, and so all the harvest was dumped in there, and I just looked at that spot and said, we can do something with this. So we decided.
Pumice to sparkling experiences.
The pumice pit is no more.
So we used 4 shipping containers and dressed those up like 1920s and created a garden that and different elevations, and I just actually added on another area for events to happen. So there's lots of quiet, relaxing areas. People tend to come and just grab a bottle, especially our members. They just want to hang out and relax and be close to town. We're probably about 2.5 blocks away. So it just makes it very convenient for people to come and hang out. But then they also can be treated by an amazing team that we have in the tasting room with all the wines that currently we have 14 different sparkling wines.
Amazing.
So, lots of choices. Lots of choices.
Carissa would like you to make more.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like enough, I'll be honest.
I think we can work on that. I'm sure we can. Penny's working on it right now. Just for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You heard that here first, everyone, breaking news.
So people can come in, because you're in city limits, people can come in and enjoy a bottle. They can have some glasses, or they can do a tasting experience and try. Do they try everything, or do you flight it in some way?
We do flight it, right. So we have just a traditional flight with your Brut, your Blanc de Noir, your Blanc de Blanc, and your Brut Rosé. And then you can go into the single vineyards. We have a couple of tastings. One's called Penny's Tasting, you know, and all her favorites, and Sharon's Tasting. And so exploring the other wines is kind of my what I love to introduce to people, because you know you're very used to the traditional ones. Why not try something totally different? Mm-hmm. And they love it. They love experiencing the Sancetti or the Pinot Blanc that we get up in Alexander Valley, and it just how different these wines can be. We also do our Sauvrage experience. We are sabering bottles every day, which is so much fun. And it just marks the day. It really does. So for a celebration or just because I've never done it before.
Right.
Let's it be an adventurous, let's have a new adventure and pop that cork off. And people are amazed at how easy it is. Just safety first.
Yeah, absolutely.
So wait, you let consumers do it?
We do. We teach them how.
Wow.
We teach them how.
That is bold. What's the trick?
I think the biggest trick is just having that the wine in the glass very cold. It makes it fragile, mm-hmm. and so a lot easier. And, having safety gear on, your glasses, eyewear, and gloves. Because I've had many bottles do things that I didn't think they were going to do.
Yeah,
like unpredictable bubbles in that bottle. Yeah, what's going on? So true.
That's great advice, though. The cold is very important, and that's true at home too. Like even just opening a bottle.
Yeah.
Nice if it's nice and cold.
For sure. Well, and then nice cold crisp bubbles are also delicious to drink.
Yeah,
not just warm bubbles, not so good.
Yeah, not just for opening.
Before
folks.
It's open and after it's open.
Exactly.
All right, we have to take another quick break here on The Good Stuff. We're here on Good Stuff to wrap it up with our guest, Sharon Cohen. And one thing you wanted to mention was that there are also tours possible.
Absolutely. On Thursdays and Fridays, we do tours of the facility. So you really get a great knowledge of how sparkling wine is made.
Which is great because it is a little bit of a mystery. It's a mysterious process.
Yeah.
It's magic, really.
It is magic.
Yeah. But to see at least some of the technical things is cool.
I know. All right. Well, that kind of brings us to our Tuesday Night Wine. Ding, 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 ding.
I know.
I'm doing faux bubble bell because I didn't bring it. So
I mean, my choice is definitely bubbles.
Well, yeah, it has to be.
Do you want to know which one?
My choice is often bubbles, to be honest.
Very
so
true.
Not a surprise. Yeah, what are you going to drink on Tuesday
Okay,
night?
Well, I'm completely intrigued by Breathless making a sparkling Pinot Meunier. That sounds pretty incredible. And current vintage, at least, that I could find was 2018.
Nice.
Which is vintage dated. Some wines are vintage dated. Some are not in the sparkling space. So, yeah, I'm going with sparkling Pinot Meunier.
So I have to say that three times.
I have to just say it slowly with purpose.
Sharon, what are you going to be opening on Tuesday night?
Pinot Blanc, I think, from the Alexander Valley.
Nice.
Vineyard, yeah. It's so different and light and nice and fun.
I love that. Well, I'm going to do a shout out to my neighbors and friends, the Sanchettis, because I get to have a family favorite along with my sort of sparkling favorite, which is a Blanc de Blanc. So I think your current release is the 2020 Breathless Sanchetti Blanc de Blanc. It's like all my favorite things in one. Friends, family.
Neighbors. Former Good Stuff guest.
Former Good Stuff guest, Mel Sanchetti.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very colorful stories.
Yes.
In my memory.
I think that was the only show we had to re-record some parts.
too good.
I know.
That is true.
All right.
So we want to remind everybody the website for Breathless Wines is breathlesswines.com, Instagram at Breathless Wines. Thank you, Sharon, so much for joining us here on The Good Stuff, the co-owner of Breathless Wines with your sisters.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, love that so much. So,
all right, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.